Well, this morning we're continuing our work through the book of Galatians. If you would turn there, Galatians chapter 1, we're going to look at four verses today, and only four verses. Now, this week, chapter 1, we will not do the rest of chapter 1 next week. The rest of chapter 1 is Paul's articulation of what happens on the Damascus Road. And I know getting to the end of the book of Acts, you've heard that already like three times. And so, for the sake of trying to get through the whole book of Galatians this summer, we will next week go on to chapter 2. But this morning we're in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Let me read that passage aloud. We'll pray together, and then let's look at this, the Word of God. This is Galatians 1, beginning in verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Galatian church. "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Would you please join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that you apply your word to our hearts. We know that your spirit works through this word, that we will know how to live and to please you in a world that's very complicated and complex. So we ask, Lord, as we look at this first chapter of Galatians this morning, we ask that you would be at work in our hearts by your Spirit, applying your word, that we would be molded and formed more and more into the image of Christ Jesus. We know you will accomplish that work in us for your glory. And so we praise your holy name this morning. We ask that you'll be here with us. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Let me give you a list of names I want to begin with this morning. Joshua Harris, the author of I Kiss Dating Goodbye, the pastor. Gunger from the band Gunger. Marty Swanson from the band Hillsong. Rob Bell, the pastor and author. David Grass, the pastor. John Steingard, the musician. There's a list of names of Christians who in the last year or two have walked away from their faith in Christ, have denied Christ. Now, if you've been paying attention to the news or following along any one of these individuals, you know there's a common term for it that's used today. It's called deconstructing. They're deconstructing their faith, they would say. They're picking it apart and taking the things they believe should be retained and getting rid of everything else. There's a phrase that's been used the last 2,000 years to describe it. It's called apostasy. Apostasy is the faith once received, walking away from it, denying it. Now, I give you that list of people this morning as an example, but I believe as you hear me speak about these very notorious, well-known individuals who have once received the faith but now deny the Lord Jesus Christ, I give that to you knowing full well that each of you has in your own minds your own lists. You have your own lists of the people who you know, friends, family, neighbors, who once received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have since denied the faith, who have walked away, who have rejected Christianity, who have turned their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, as we look at this passage, I want to ask you to keep those people at the front of your mind. You may be thinking of one or two or five or a dozen individuals who you know, who you have relationship with. I believe as we look at this passage, it will be very helpful to be thinking and praying about those people. See, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter to the Galatian church, he begins verse 6, and he addresses those who have committed apostasy. Those who are either in the process or who already have walked away from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He addresses them and exhorts them in these four verses, verses 6 through 10. As you read the entire letter, you will find often that he addresses this group of people. Now, I want you, as we begin looking at this passage, I want you to understand something. There's a very important reason the Apostle Paul has words to say to apostate Christians. It's very important yet profound for our understanding of what God is doing in the world. Let me put it very simply. All hope is never lost. All hope is never lost. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Christians who are walking away from their faith because he knows that the Lord God is still at work. That those who once received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ may be yet brought back to faith in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul writes to recall Christians who are walking away from their faith. I believe it's an encouragement to us. You have that list of people in your minds. It's an encouragement to you to pray for them, to advocate for them, to proclaim the gospel to them, to care for them, to be concerned for their well-being. Now this morning, as we look at this passage, the Apostle Paul lays out, I think, some very helpful points for us as we engage those who we care about who are walking away from the faith. And so I want to point out briefly three things that we see in this passage. Let me first of all point you to verse 6. In verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel." And the Apostle Paul begins with this word, astonished. He says, "I am astonished." As you hear that word, I want you to think of a picture here, because this word is meant to conjure up the idea of being amazed and confused. And I want you to think about a child who is watching a magician, okay? Now, if you've ever seen kids watching a magician, you know this is the definition of astonishment, right? The magician puts the ball into his hand, he crumples it up and opens his hand, and the ball is gone. And the child who is watching the magician, or maybe even the grown-up, I don't know, but especially the child who is watching the magician says, well, the ball should have been there in their hand, but it is no longer there. And there is confusion and amazement. Astonishment, as the Apostle Paul says here this morning. I want you to envision the Apostle Paul as he looks at the Galatian church, looking at them and saying, faith should be here, but it is not. And I'm confused and I am astonished. I am amazed that you have so quickly abandoned the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, for the Apostle Paul, it is much more than cognitive assent. For the Apostle Paul, it is much more than, oh, wow, okay, I thought that you would be following the Lord Jesus, but you're not. You see, for the Apostle Paul, it was very personal. It was very personal for Paul, who had preached the gospel himself to the Galatians. Now, you may not hear it here in the first chapter, but let me read to you from the fourth chapter of Galatians, beginning in verse 15. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here to those Christians who are walking away from their faith. What then has become of the blessing that you felt? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? And then in verse 19, he says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish that I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. For I am perplexed about you. You hear there in Paul's words the grave concern he has for those who are walking away from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first point I want to make this morning is very simple. When we encounter those who are walking away from faith in Christ, we ought to treat it like a tragedy. We ought to treat it like a tragedy because it is a tragedy. The Apostle Paul here is greeting these Christians who are walking away from faith in Christ as if it is one of the most tragic things he's ever encountered. And so he is perplexed and confounded and confused, and he is pleading with them. Now, I say that to you this morning because I believe we have a propensity to normalize apostasy, to trivialize it, to act like it is really no big deal, right? Just another Christian who's abandoned their faith. Okay, well, let's not like overreact here. Let's not act as if this is really urgent. Let's not push them further away from the truth by overreacting here. Let's just calm down. The Apostle Paul treats it as if it's such a tragedy that the Galatian Christians are abandoning the faith they once received. So my encouragement to you this morning is very simple. Treat it like a tragedy. Now, how do we treat tragedy? We're in shock. We're astonished. We mourn. We weep. We lament. We have tears. We're overwhelmed. We're confused, perplexed, and astonished. That's the way we ought to treat brothers and sisters in Christ who walk away from faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm encouraged, as I gave that list earlier of famous Christians who have walked away from their faith, I'm encouraged by the comments of Joshua Harris. Okay, he's the one who wrote that book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And if you followed him for any length of time while he was deconstructing his faith, he posted a message on Instagram, and he had just one thing to say to Christians. And this is what he said to the Christians who he had lived with for the last 25 years, who had become his family. He said, "I can't join in your mourning. I don't view this moment negatively. I feel very much alive and awake and surprisingly hopeful." Now, as you hear those words, and as you heard those words before, those are words of disillusionment, confusion, right? But one of the great things about what Joshua Harris just said was that he knows that the Christian brothers and sisters who had surrounded him for so long are mourning and weeping. And I believe that those who walk away from faith in Christ ought to know that you mourn for them, that you lament for them, that you weep for them, that it's a tragedy, that they're abandoning hope, eternal hope, that they're walking away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's important for many reasons, not the least of which is that the Lord God often uses that in the lives of people who are walking away from faith to turn them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of our prayers must be that the Lord God would use the tears of many saints to shake awake from the slumber of darkness many apostate Christians. That the Lord God would use our weeping and mourning to bring life where life seems to be diminished or lost. That's the first point. We ought to treat it like it's a tragedy. The second point comes from verse 7. In verse 7, the Apostle Paul is exhorting these Galatians, and he's saying, you're turning to a different gospel. And in verse 7, he says, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, as we look at the seventh verse, I want to tell you, I believe the Apostle Paul here, as he's exhorting the church in Galatia, I believe he actually points out very succinctly the most common cause of apostasy. I believe you'll resonate with this as you hear Paul's words. And here's, I think, a simple way to think about what Paul is saying here. Paul, as he's exhorting the Galatian church, is telling us that apostasy often comes from affliction and fiction. Okay, now that's my creative way of saying this. You can use any words you want to. Apostasy often comes from affliction and fiction. It's born in the soil of affliction and fiction. What do I mean by that? Well, very simply, look again at verse 7. There are some who trouble you. That's Paul's articulation of affliction. As he's speaking to the church in Galatia, he's saying, listen, I understand that in your darkest moment, when you're wrestling with faith in Christ, when you're unsure of what's happening in the world and your foundations are being rocked, there are those who have come into the church and they are troubling you. They are distressing you concerning your faith in Christ. They are undermining the gospel that has been delivered to you. And that's the affliction part, okay? That's the affliction that's happening in Galatia. But affliction in the heart of the believer is often followed up by presentations of fiction. The Apostle Paul says, not only are they troubling you, but they want to distort the gospel of Christ. And so not only have they begun to undermine the foundations of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they've offered to you an alternative gospel. Not that there is another one, but they have distorted the true gospel of Christ and they have offered to you an alternate reality. Now, I said to you earlier, I believe this is the most common cause of apostasy. I know that there are other causes of apostasy, but I believe that this is the most common cause. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to think again about that list of people that you know who have walked away from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. brothers, sisters, parents, friends, neighbors, who once received the gospel of the Lord Jesus, who have since walked away. I would be willing to bet that for most of them, you can resonate with the fact that they faced affliction. That when they were turning from faith in Christ to some alternate reality, that they faced some trials in their lives. It may have been a divorce or a separation, like it was for Joshua Harris, for instance, for David Grass, that pastor that I mentioned. It may have been some suffering, the loss of a loved one. It may have been some persecution that they encountered, some pain or trials. I even have spoken with Christians who have lost the faith, and I thought, okay, I can't really put my finger on any trial they experienced, only to hear them express some internal turmoil, some affliction they were facing in their home or in their own minds, suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, okay? Those who walk away from the faith often do it in the midst of affliction. But you see, what often happens in the midst of their affliction is that at some point they are presented with alternate facts, with an alternate reality. Affliction leads to fiction. And you see, as the foundation of the gospel is being undermined and their foundation is being torn away from them by the affliction that they're facing, at some point, some person or some TV show or some book or some angel from heaven, as Paul says, or some dream in the night, something comes to them and offers them a distortion of the gospel and says to them, listen, this will now make sense of your affliction. I have to present to you some other truth. And Christians in the midst of that affliction often cling to those alternative truths, to the fiction that they are presented with. I would imagine if you think of those individuals in your lives who have walked away from faith in Christ, you can point to those very things that have happened in their lives. And you could say, yeah, there was their affliction, and there was the alternate reality they were presented, and there's the progress of walking away, the progress of walking away from faith. Now, here's how I want to encourage you then as Christians. Here is something to think about. There are those around you and in your church and Christians that you know now who are in the midst of affliction. They are in the midst of affliction and they are beginning to ask questions like, why does Jesus allow suffering? And does Jesus care about me if I am suffering? And does God really exist? Serious questions about their own faith in Christ. Now, the exhortation and the encouragement for you Christians is that you will stand between their affliction and their fiction. That you will stand in their lives near them, suffering along with them, that when they ask questions, you will direct their attention not to the lies that are created by the devil, the lies that direct them away from the gospel, but that you will instead direct their attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will help them to answer their question from God's word, that you will direct them to Christ and his gospel, just as the Apostle Paul does here in Galatians chapter 1. And so apostasy is born out of affliction and fiction. We are called as Christians to stand between the affliction and the fiction that our brothers and sisters in Christ will encounter in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their suffering. The last thing I want to show you from this passage is in verses 8 through 10. If you're looking there, verse 8 begins, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed." Now, this is one of my favorite verses. What a thing for the Apostle Paul to say. You have those verses in the Bible, you look at it and say, wow, that was really strong. Paul says, if an angel appears from heaven and says to you, I have good news for you, and if it contradicts the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, let that angel be accursed. What an amazing thing to say. And he goes on in verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Emphatic words for the Apostle Paul. Emphatic words. You think about the statement that Paul makes there. The word that he repeats twice is accursed. He says accursed. That's a very strong word. It is the Greek word anathema, which many of you know, right? The Catholic Church for centuries has been anathematizing heretics, okay? Now, anathema is the Greek word that is synonymous with the Hebrew word that's used in the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, the people of God are going into the land, and the Lord God says to them, devote the peoples to destruction. Devote the cities to destruction. That's the word, anathema, to devote to destruction. And so the Apostle Paul says here to the church in Galatia, if anyone, even an angel from heaven, shows up to you and proclaims to you a gospel contrary to the one that has been delivered to you, let them be devoted to destruction. That's very strong words. Now, why does the Apostle Paul speak with so much emphasis? Why does he seem almost over the top about how serious they're to take this preaching of another gospel? We see it connects again back to verses 6 and 7, because in verse 6, he says, you're turning to a different gospel. But in verse 7, not that there is another one. See, the Apostle Paul is so serious about this preaching of another gospel because there is only one true gospel. There is no other good news. There is no other hope apart from Christ. There is only this, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, think of it like this. Imagine that your family is in a home that is burning down. And you're going in to save your family, and you realize there's like 10 possible exits from the house, but 9 of them have been blocked by fire and flames. And if they go any of those 9 ways, it will lead to their destruction. But there's only one way for them to exit this house towards salvation, right? And so if you're going in to save your family, you're gonna be pleading with them, and you're gonna be emphatic, and you're gonna be tenacious. And you're gonna be clear, and you're gonna articulate exactly which way they must go so that they might be saved from imminent destruction. And so we see the Apostle Paul here being very urgent in his proclamation of the gospel. So that's the third point here. The Apostle Paul, as he's speaking to apostate Christians, he's doing so with tenacity, with clarity, and with charity. Tenacity, clarity, and charity. I love the way the Apostle Paul engages those Galatians with tenacity and urgency, that they will know how crucial this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with clarity. He doesn't confuse them. He doesn't mince words. It's not as if the Galatians will walk away and say, okay, I wonder what Paul was saying there. Do you think that he wanted us to return to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it clear to us that there is only one true gospel? It is absolutely clear. And he does so with charity over and over again. For instance, you'll find him in the 6th chapter as he's exhorting the Galatians. He will say, if you go to a brother to exhort them to return to Christ, do so in all gentleness. Do so in all gentleness. And so the third point this morning is very simple. As you think about those friends and family, those neighbors in your minds who have left the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have turned their backs on Christianity and on Christ, that you would engage them with the truth of the gospel tenaciously, with clarity and charity, that they might see the Lord Jesus Christ and return to him in hope. Now, I want to leave you this morning with these words from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I thought about this passage, and many of you know that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a very articulate as he expressed what faith in Christ actually is. And I read these words and I thought I could summarize them, but they're better than anything I could ever say. And so let me read to you as a conclusion here from Martin Lloyd-Jones expressing the tenacity and the clarity of the gospel. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, has conquered Satan, tried and tested to the utmost. He not only emerged unscathed, but has cast out the prince of this world. He has spoiled principalities and power, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. The seed of the woman hath bruised the serpent's head. He has conquered death and the grave and every power that is inimical to man and his highest interests. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, yea, not only for himself, but for us. He offers us his own power and promises to clothe us with his own might. Not only need we not be defeated any longer, In him, we can become more than conquerors over any and every power that may raise itself against us. These are the problems of the world, the problems of mankind, your problems and mine. They are exposed in the gospel and they are solved by it. Christ satisfies every need, and he alone can do so. He has done all things well. The message of the gospel is about him and what he has done. It is the one true gospel. It is not theory. It works. It is a fact, as the lives of Christians of all ages testify to. Ashamed of it 1,000 times, I say no. Ashamed rather of everything else, of foolish pride or empty pomp and show, of our futile schemes and vain strivings that come to nothing. No, no, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have revealed your will to us through your word. Hear from the mouth of the Apostle Paul to the Galatian church. We thank you, Lord God, that you have not left us to our own devices, that while we were yet sinners, you loved us and you died for us. And now, by the work of your Spirit, you call us to faith in you. And so we thank you, Lord God, that we know many who once professed faith in you who have since walked away. But we thank you that all hope is not lost. And so we ask, Lord God, that you would exhort and encourage our hearts according to these words from this book of Galatians, to treat apostasy as it is a tragedy, and to understand that this tragedy often comes from the affliction and the fictions of this world, from the trials that Christians experience, and the desire for some satisfaction in this world. And Lord God, we hope that you would use us to proclaim the gospel clearly, urgently, with much grace and compassion, for the sake of those that we know and love, that you might work in their hearts to reclaim wayward sinners. And so we trust you with that work. Lord God, we ask that you would use us, your people. We ask that you would use your church to proclaim peace through the Lord Jesus Christ to all who will come in faith. We thank you and we praise your holy name this morning. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we ask all of this. Amen.